All right. Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us via Zoom. And we will continue on with our afternoon panel. Schulte versus Hawk is our next case. Schulte versus Hawk. So, Mr. Glatz, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court. So, I just want to give the court a practical example here. We have a paternity case. Paternity cases, we know we want to establish paternity, custody, visitation, and support. Sometimes it's only paternity and support. In this particular case, my client, Mr. Schulte, had obtained a DNA test 15 days after the child was born. A DNA test that established that he was the biological father. Him and mom cooperated. They both went in, made the child available. We got a DNA test. Okay. My practical example here is in a paternity case, if it's filed within the first 4 years of statute of limitations to determine legal paternity, to have a legal finding of paternity, you know what the court does in the district court? They say, get a genetic test. So we get a genetic test to establish paternity. In this particular case, we have a genetic test in the first 4 years. However, my client didn't file for paternity or to have a legal finding within the first 4 years. But as we would toll the statute of limitations by having an acknowledgement signed that could be the father or could not be the father. We've seen those cases before. I think that my client, he has a same or greater weight or presumption that paternity was established by having the DNA test within the first 4 years. Therefore, we should toll the statute of limitations. He should be able to take advantage of a paternity claim. And the four-year statute of limitations is not applicable because the DNA test has the same weight or greater weight than a presumption of paternity as a notarized acknowledgement. So I think
isn't the problem, Mr. Gloss, though, that according to statutes and case law, the genetic testing does not become a legal finding similar to the acknowledgement of paternity. Isn't that what it boils down to?
That's exactly right. And I think that, the DNA test should at least be a rebuttable presumption for the trier of fact and create a material issue of fact for the trier of fact to make a determination. So we should still be able to get to a paternity action to allow the court to then decide whether or not, you know, the DNA test is valid or, you know, if it was done properly. But we do have a DNA.
Aren't we constricted, though, by the statutes?
Well, you are constricted to go by the statutes, and we're asking you to expand on the statute because we don't believe that it's that it's proper. And I think to allow an acknowledgement of paternity to be signed by any person in the world to establish paternity within the first 4 years is, you know, that's fine. But if we have a DNA test, I think that creates a larger rebuttable presumption to whether or not paternity was established within the first 4 years. And that first 4 years is even an arbitrary number. I think if you look back at cases from before I was alive, you only had 5 days to establish paternity. And then I think it was expanded to 4 years and fine. But I think that if this court does not say that a DNA test creates a rebuttable presumption of paternity, and it was done within the first 4 years. I understand if it's outside the 4 years, this would be a different issue. But I think that if the court was to say that that is not applicable and he is disestablished at forever being a father, he's a violation of constitutional right, equal protection clause, the due process. I think his rights to be a father are violated.
If we agree with everything you say, Are we the right entity to give you relief? Isn't it the legislature?
I think case law can expand on the statute and provide guidance. So my basic 1-2-3 argument, as this court it understands, the 4-year statute of limitations is not applicable because paternity is not an issue. The DNA test creates the same or greater presumption of paternity as a notarized acknowledgement of paternity. And the county court has jurisdiction over the child to establish custody and visitation. And this court should remand with instructions.
Can we talk about that last one for just a little bit? The statute provides that if a county court or juvenile court has jurisdiction over the child, but there's no other proceeding involving this child, is there?
No, and that's an interesting issue, because I'll go back to the practicality of this. In order to file a case, you have, if the parties were not married, you would have to file it under a paternity action. You can't go select on the e-filing that I just want to establish custody. Now, you can't file a complaint to establish custody. It has to be wedged into the paternity action. And so I think that the court would have a rebuttable presumption that they have jurisdiction and that they can make a legal finding that paternity's been established when an individual does a DNA test within the first 4 years. In addition to that, the statute 43-14-11 says the civil proceeding to establish paternity of a child may be instituted in the court of the district where the child is domiciled or found, or for cases under the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act where the alleged father is domiciled by a mother or the alleged father of the child, either during pregnancy or within the first 4 years.
Mr. Glass. I just want to kind of follow up on some things that both Judge Moore and Judge Reedman have talked about in terms of if we're the right place to seek the relief you're requesting, because it's not that your arguments are falling on deaf ears here. I mean, we completely understand that there appears to be a bit of an inconsistency between accepting acknowledgments of paternity as legal findings of paternity and then allowing someone to, after 4 years, bring a claim for visitation or parenting time or custody. On the other hand, a DNA test has not been determined to be a legal finding in and of itself. So there are, you know, your argument is logically very persuasive, all right? But the statute doesn't provide for it. So it seems the legislature is the entity that needs some of your persuasion, if that's an area that you wish to see changed, right? Because we are confined to the language of the statute. In particular, in this case, would you agree that the legislature specifically amended the acknowledgement of paternity statute, you know, to make it a legal finding, when at the same time it chose not to, apparently, amend and add the DNA test serving as a legal finding in and of itself? So with those differences and those intentional actions by the legislature, how can we really give you the relief you're seeking here?
I think 43-14-11, you can establish paternity in the district where the child is domiciled. So that would give us jurisdiction. And I think that going and then having to prove that paternity was established, the presumption would be that the DNA test has greater weight, therefore would be a material fact to be decided by the court. And this civil proceeding was brought as a paternity case. And so I think it, the question and answer and lies in 43-14-11.
Thank you.
I'll save the 1 minute for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. Lowe?
Thank you and good afternoon. May it please the court. Paternity proceedings are purely statutory. They're to be given strict interpretation, and that should be of the plain language of the statute. Mr. Glass relies upon 43-14-11, which specifically states the mother or the alleged father within 4 years of pregnancy or birth may establish, file proceedings, a civil proceeding to establish paternity. There was not, that did not occur in this case. Yes, Mr. Schlute had the DNA test and shortly after the birth of the child, but he did nothing. He avoided service of at least two paternity actions filed by the county attorney in Nebraska, and he avoided another action in Colorado.
But counsel, to say that he did nothing is not quite accurate. He had a relationship with this child. The mother acknowledged the father as the father. There was, you know, ongoing parenting time and some sort of support, not court-ordered support, but there was a relationship here. And would you agree it seems somewhat unfair to this child who has a biological father, will not be able to acknowledge this person as the father, will not be able to enjoy a relationship, will not be able to receive child support? You know, it seems like a completely unfair situation. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that, Your Honor, but that's exactly the situation that has been created in previous cases. For instance, the Tyler F. versus Sarah P. case, the Caesar versus Alicia case, those involve fathers or biological fathers, and the legal father signed acknowledgments of paternity. So those biological fathers were cut out in both of those cases, among other cases that, I mean, there's several cases where this has been decided. The fact of the matter is that DNA test results, genetic test results are evidence to be used at a proceeding to determine paternity. They are not acknowledgments of paternity. They're not the situation where you're married to the father, like in this case. Ms. Hawk was still married to Mr. Hawk, and there was disestablishment of paternity pursuant to the statute here. Mr. Hawk, I acknowledge that he did have some relationship with the child and provided some support, but what he didn't do was follow up on his rights to ensure that he had rights as a father that were available to him. These statutes have been determined to be constitutional. They treat both the mother and the alleged father equally. There's a procedure that has been followed for a very, very long time, and it's been determined a four-year statute of limitations. It provides ample opportunity for an alleged father to pursue a paternity action and take advantage of the rights that he would have as a parent. He did not do that in this case. Mm-hmm. He was aware of other attempts by other entities to establish paternity as provided for by the statutes. He avoided that. He knew from my client specifically that she was trying to establish paternity so that she could get some court-ordered support. He avoided that. He sat on his hands. And it's unfortunate in this situation, but we have a lot of situations where there are legal fathers who provide for the child support in every way. They have parenting time or they have custody of the child. And there are biological fathers who do not because they sat on their hands too long or they're dealing with the situation, as has been addressed in multiple cases, where the father, the legal father, assigned an acknowledgement of paternity.
As it relates to the child, they have a legal father. This child has neither.
That's right? Correct. That's correct, Your Honor. It does create an unfair situation for the child as well.
And I was going to ask, you know, I've always found it unusual that 43.14.11 does have that exception regarding when the juvenile court has jurisdiction, that paternity can be established in order to maybe bring in that father who hasn't been very active, but they're in the process of terminating mom's rights and maybe they want to give dad a chance. And suddenly the 4-year statute of limitations doesn't matter. I find that interesting. Do you have any response to kind of that disparity in treatment of the dads between those two situations?
The only thing, it is unusual. I find it unusual too, but I think it's consistent with the state's interest in ensuring that the child's rights are protected and the child's rights are addressed, which the juvenile court, that's what the juvenile court is all about, the best interest of the child. And so in that case, in that situation, as you've indicated, like in where there's a motion to terminate parental rights, they want to make sure that there's not a biological father that comes back and disrupts an adoption of a child that's been placed for a significant amount of time with the family, who now has a relationship with that family and would essentially have to go with a biological father whom has not been involved.
It is a little twisted though, that, you know, it might be in a child's best interest, you know, 7 years later when suddenly mom's in trouble and is going to have her rights terminated. Now it's in the child's best interest to establish paternity of the biological father and perhaps give that person custody in time. Whereas it's by a matter of law, not in a child's best interest after 4 years for the father to seek paternal establishment. So it is a bit of an oddity in our statutes, I think.
I agree with that. And I think the court is correct in indicating, asking, isn't this a situation that the legislature could clear up? Because certainly it happens in a lot of cases.
Unfortunately for this child, you know, you're suggesting there's no relief for this particular child who, as we've said, won't have a biological father.
Well, I don't think that's out of the question. If the state brought a support action against him, I think he could counterclaim for custody and a determination and get parenting time. I think
the other alternative here as well, which maybe it's not realistic given the facts of this case and the relationship of the parents here, but there could be an agreement between mom and this dad, right, about having parenting time, even if it's outside
the legal system. Yes, there could. And, you know, in certain situations, some parents go forward with a paternity action, even though it's outside the statute of limitations, and basically acquiesce that this should be determined, but that's not the case here. That's not what my client chose to do. So,
thank you.
Yes, thank you. I'm asking that the judge's order be affirmed on this appeal. So,
thank you. Mr. Glass, I think you have a little bit of time left.
Oh,
you are muted.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got a couple comments. The state could do a paternity action, right? But how are they going to prove paternity? Through the DNA test that was made within the first 4 years. Okay, number two, jurisdiction. That's 43-14-11. It's two parts, or there are multiple parts, but if you look at it, you can establish paternity in the court with in the court of the district where the child is domiciled or found, and then it has a big or. So you can still attach jurisdiction in that first clause. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. The case is submitted, and counsel, you're free to drop off of Zoom.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thanks.